Hare Krishna. Oh, it is a great privilege and pleasure to be back here again after about 30 years. And coming back after such a long time, I'm seeing what a wonderful place New York City is to share Krishna consciousness with people in. In fact, before coming here, I mentioned to a few of my godbrothers that I was coming, and every single one said the same thing, that what a wonderful place New York City is to preach. I mentioned it to Vaisheshika Prabhu, who is based in California, and he just went on and on about the wonderful programs that were going on in New York City in great detail. And I mentioned it to His Holiness Indradumya Swami, and he said that although he is a California boy, but if he had to choose a place to preach in America, it would be New York. So there's tremendous potential here, and that potential is being realized to different degrees in different places, but it is being realized. So I thought to read one verse. It's relevant to all of us. It's relevant to all of us. And especially thinking about our, Srila Prabhupada's dear disciple, Brahmananda Das, and his departure today. The verse and purport may take on added meaning. So, we shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 17. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ayur Hariti Vaipum Sam Udyan Astam Chayan Asau Tasyarte Yakshano Ninta Utabashloka Vartaya. Ayur Hariti Vaipum Sam Udyan Astam Chayan Asau Tasyarte Yakshano Ninta Uttama Shloka Vartaya. Please repeat.
Ayu.
Ayu.
Duration of life.
Duration of life.
Hariti.
Hariti.
Decreases.
Vai.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Pungsam.
Of the people.
Udyan.
Rising.
Astam.
Setting.
Cha.
Also.
Yan.
Moving.
Asau.
The sun.
Tasya.
Of one who glorifies the Lord.
Rite.
Except.
Yat.
By whom?
Kshana.
Time.
Nita.
Utilized.
Uttamashloka.
The all good personality of Godhead.
Vartaya.
In the topics of. Translation. Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Both by rising and by setting,
the sun decreases
the duration of life,
of everyone,
except
one who utilizes the time,
by discussing topics
of the all-good personality of Godhead.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. What does acceleration mean?
To speed up.
In other words, we're engaged in devotional service to whatever degree. And this verse indicates that we should accelerate. We should move faster. We should speed up. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. So this is a fact that if we are on the verge of death, and we're willing to spend any amount of money to buy some more time, we can't do it. That means even one moment of life is so valuable that it cannot be purchased by any amount of gold. Srila Prabhupada had a friend in Bombay named Brijratan Malta, who was a very intelligent man and a very prominent industrialist. And Srila Prabhupada was very expert in speaking in terms that could be appreciated by the particular person. So he said to Mr. Malta that in your ledger of life, there are two columns, profit and loss. And any time used in Krishna consciousness is profit. And any time used outside of Krishna consciousness is loss. So any businessman will want to maximize his profit and minimize his loss. So we should utilize every moment in Uttama Shloka Vartaya, in topics of Krishna. Otherwise, it is lost. Irretrievable loss. And sometimes losses can be incurred almost imperceptibly. For example, in one's business, one may have an employee who suddenly steals a lot of money. And it's a loss, but you can detect it. And you could even, you know, capture that employee and try to recover your money. But there's another kind of thief who steals a little at a time. So little that you hardly notice it, or you don't notice it. But all those little thieveries add up, and over a year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, it can add up to a huge loss. But you don't detect it because it's done in such small increments. So, if we analyze our daily activities, we may find that we are losing time every day in small amounts. But those small amounts add up. Just, I think 3 days ago in Stuyvesant Falls, I was reading a book by Peter Burwash, who is a follower of Srila Prabhupada's. And he was discussing various principles of success. So one of the principles was, you know, to make the most efficient use of one's time. And many books have been written about how to, you know, maximize the productivity of your time when you're trying to be productive. But he had some statistic about how many hundreds of hours are spent doing things like standing in line. Hundreds of hours. So he was making the point that we should use that time. And, you know, we can, of course, when he wrote the book, he suggested we maybe carry some book that we can read. Of course, as devotees, we always have our japa mala, and that can be engaged. And now, of course, there are many devices like iPods that we can use to hear Uttama Shloka Vartaya and make use of every moment. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. That's the only reason we have the human form of life. In fact, once an interviewer asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is the purpose of life?" And he replied, "The purpose of life is to be happy." But people don't know the real process to be happy. They don't know what real happiness is. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness, because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity. But he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. A living being is constitutionally a spiritual spark of the complete whole, and his happiness can be perfectly perceived in spiritual activities. The Lord is the complete spirit whole, and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, and personality are all identical with him. Once a person comes into contact with any one of the above-mentioned energies of the Lord, through the proper channel of devotional service, the door to perfection is immediately open. In other words, we have to come in contact with Krishna. And we can come in contact with Krishna through his name, form, qualities, pastimes, entourage, so many different ways. But that's what we have to do, and that will enable us to experience real happiness. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord has explained such contact in the following words: "Endeavors in devotional service are never baffled, nor is there failure. A slight beginning of such activities is sufficient even to deliver a person from the great ocean of material fears. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental messages implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts, this realization for a moment in the association of pure devotees like Shukadeva Goswami prepares one's complete life
for eternity. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the eternal living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subject to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. So the idea is that by the rising and setting of the sun, the duration of life of everyone is decreased, except for one who utilizes the time in discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Now, one may question, how is that? I mean, the rising and setting of the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, whether they use the time in Krishna consciousness or not. But actually, there's a difference, because those who use the time in Krishna consciousness are actually preparing for their eternal life with Krishna. They're not actually approaching death, but really they're approaching their eternal life with Krishna. And that is what we are meant to do. The materialistic way of pious activities like charity is recommended in the Smriti Shastras as quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now, for those of you who are investment-minded, please pay close attention. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a Brahmin. If the money is given in charity to a non-Brahmin, (parentheses) without Brahminical qualification, and (parentheses), the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. If the money is given to a half-educated Brahmin, even then, the money is returned double. That's pretty good. And if the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, and I'm sure that there are many people in this room who will be happy to meet you outside the temple after the program. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified Brahmin, the money is returned 100,000 times. That's real good. And if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. Now, what does Veda Paraga mean?
one who's factually realized the path of the Vedas. The ultimate end of Vedic knowledge is realization of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya. Now, how can money be returned in unlimited multiplication? Because everything in the material world is limited. In fact, one meaning of the word Maya is that which can be measured. So unlimited multiplication suggests that the reward is gained by entering the spiritual world. Once Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay, Juhu, from Hong Kong. And in Hong Kong, the devotees had met him at the airport with a Rolls Royce. And afterwards, the devotees had arranged a press conference for him in the penthouse of a big hotel in Hong Kong. So during the press conference, one of the reporters asked Srila Prabhupada that you're supposed to be a spiritual person, and why did you accept riding in a Rolls Royce? And Srila Prabhupada replied that the spiritual master is the representative of God, Krishna. And in the spiritual world, everything is made of chintamani, or spiritual gems. So, if my disciples had arranged a solid gold Rolls Royce for me, it would not have been sufficient to honor me as a representative of God. But because this was all that they could manage, so I accepted it. And then after Srila Prabhupada told me that story in Juhu, he said, what else can you say to such envious persons? But the fact is that nothing material of this world can compare to the opulence of the spiritual world. And by giving to a Veda Paraga, like Srila Prabhupada, one gets returns in unlimited multiplications. In other words, they can't even be repaid in the material world. But of course, a devotee doesn't really care for any material or spiritual opulence. A devotee wants only service, pure devotional service. And today, as we reflect on Brahmananda Prabhu, who gave so much to Srila Prabhupada, he gave himself to Srila Prabhupada. So we also imagine that his greatest desire would be to be reunited with Srila Prabhupada in loving service. And I think we are confident that he would have achieved that goal. So I'll continue reading. There is a guarantee of monies being returned if given in charity, regardless of the proportion. In other words, if you give in charity, you will get money returned, regardless of the proportion. There are different proportions, but whatever it is, it will be returned to you. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental messages of the Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning home back to Godhead. So many devotees just had a brief association with Srila Prabhupada, and that brief association completely changed their lives. And they may have gotten the association by reading one of Srila Prabhupada's books, even a line. I know many people who became devotees, they just read one line and they were convinced. Like there's one young man in San Diego, somehow he got a small book somewhere and he opened it up and he read that, you know, those who use the human form of life to eat, sleep, mate, and defend without inquiring into the higher values of life are simply animals. One line, he read one line and thought, that's true. I'm no better than an animal. I have to inquire into the higher values of life. And there are many examples, probably thousands, not millions of examples. Just one line was enough. Madhama gatva purna janma na vidyate. In other words, a devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. So if you give money in charity, you're guaranteed money back in the next life. If you give oral reception to the messages of Krishna from a pure devotee, you are guaranteed eternal life. I mean, how good is that? A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. So, nobody wants misery. I mean, nobody goes to the church or the temple or the mosque to pray, please make me miserable. Everyone prays, please make me happy or make my wife happy or my children happy or my cousin happy. But actually, miseries such as disease and old age can be an impetus in our spiritual lives. They can accelerate our spiritual progress. And therefore, pure devotees accept any situation as the Lord's mercy, as an opportunity to accelerate their devotional service. I've spoken with many devotees who have cared for other devotees at the time of their passing away. And in one account after the other, I find how devotees, well, how merciful Krishna is to his devotees. And he helps them to pass their life's final exam. It is said that, there's a saying that whatever sadhana and bhajan you have done, it's very good. But everything will be tested at the time of death. Whether you can think of Krishna at the time of death. So that's like the final exam. And if we pass the final exam, we graduate. We go back home, back to Godhead. So, in many of these accounts, I've heard of devotees who were not, who, I guess you could say, well, not exactly, but were given something like a pop quiz. And they realized that they actually were not ready. That if that was the final exam, they wouldn't have passed. But Krishna created such a situation that they were given more time to prepare, and in so many cases they did pass their life's final exam. And Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna wants all of his devotees to go back to Godhead in the same lifetime. And that if a devotee is not ready, Krishna will give him more time. Krishna will extend his life beyond when it should have ended in ordinary course, so that the devotee can finish up whatever he needs to do in order to go back to Godhead in the same life. So, but yeah, we should utilize every moment we can. In one talk, Srila Prabhupada, he said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Don't waste time. Don't speak nonsense. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. And even while doing other services, we can chant and hear. So this was just a little idea. I left time because I thought some of you might have questions or comments. So I think I'd like to hear from you now. And yeah, even if you want to hear me speak on a certain subject or if you have questions on what we've discussed or comments. Yes, Maharaj.
Do you have any personal meditation to prepare yourself for death?
Do I have any personal meditations to prepare myself for death? Well, I'll tell one story. Not a story, but give one example. That right now, Madhava Prabhu, who is in New York, and he's leading kirtan with the Harinam party, and he, well, as you know, he can just close his eyes and sing the same tune for hours with deep absorption. So once someone asked him that, you know, you just chant for hours, you know, with your eyes closed, with such absorption, what are you thinking? What is your meditation? And he replied that I chant each mantra as if it were my last. So if you think about it, like this is your last mantra, this is your last chance, you definitely give it everything you have, you put everything into it. So that, you know, that's a good meditation. In Krishna books, Srila Prabhupada says one should always be conscious of death. And in the face of death, or the prospect of death, we can see what is more important and what's less important. The famous entrepreneur, Steve Jobs, who I guess began Apple or developed Apple. I don't remember. But anyway, like every day he would ask himself, you know, if this was my last day, what would I be doing? And he said that if he found that, like, for too many days, what he was actually going to be doing that day was not what he would want to do if it was his last day, that he realized he had to make some adjustment in his life. So, we should think, you know, if this is my last day or my last week, how would I use that time? And another thing I think sometimes is, you know, if death were to come, what regrets would I have? It's funny, somehow this thought came to my mind when I was in a doctor's office with His Holiness Ratanapaja Swami. And at that time I thought, what regret would I have? And I thought I would regret not having spent enough time with my godbrothers, my dear godbrothers. So I think when in the face of death, or in the contemplation of death, what's important becomes revealed, and what's less important becomes revealed. And but so much of what we do or can do depends on others. I mean, it's the Sankirtan movement. I mean, alone,
We can't do much, but together we can do a lot. So that in my case, thinking of the imminence of death also means, you know, like really getting together, you know, with God brothers and others, and really thinking, you know, what's the best we can do for ourselves spiritually, and what's the best we can do for the movement, for the world. But anyway, anyway, those are just some thoughts. Do you have any thoughts of your own that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I meditate on it often. I just think, you know, while I'm chanting in my room, what it would be like if I knew for sure 15 minutes from now I was going to be leaving this plane of existence. It's a strange thought, actually. And I'm not sure how real it is, that thought, you know, to be perfectly frank. I can think of it intellectually. When it would actually happen, I kind of get this sneaky feeling that I probably would think in a different way. But I also, the other thing I think is, when I'm just about to get on an airplane to somewhere far away, you know, death is something like that, where everything that you once knew and you were once doing is suddenly now going to be suspended, and you know that it will. Of course, with an airplane, you know, probably you're coming back. But with death, you're not coming back. Everything is dropped off. Other than that, you know, trying to come to real contact, the sense of death, is not an easy thing. There's some external situation. You get told you have an incurable disease, or you have an automobile accident, or you have a close call. Then it's palpable, you know, but otherwise it's kind of abstract.
I recently heard about one of our God brothers who has since left us. And he was told that he had a terminal illness. And, you know, he wasn't ready for that. And he, you know, he was a prominent devotee. And he sort of went away into seclusion to come to terms with the reality. And for 6 months, he just, you know, worshipped his deities, chanted, read, whatever he had to do. And he, you know, because he was a prominent leader, you know, he needed the time for himself, but he also didn't want people to see him in that state. He wasn't ready to deal with people. He had to come to terms with the reality of what he had heard. And somehow, after about 6 months, he came to terms with it. And he emerged completely fearless of death. You know, something internal happened during that period. And, yeah, he came to terms with it. And after that, he was fearless in the face of death. Fearless. So, it's a big thing. It's a very big thing. And we may have a lot of theoretical knowledge, but when the time comes, we don't really know how we're going to take it and what we might have to do to come to terms with it. But yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes.
How did you get to? I'm not a sleeper. I used to be a sleeper. So I'm not a sleeper anymore. Sometimes I'm a sleeper. But I'm not a sleeper.
Well, if I might give you some free advice, may I? And this applies not only to you, it applies to all of us. But we're not the body, and we're not the mind. But we are spiritual sparks of Krishna. And as spiritual sparks of Krishna, we are all good. We're as good as Krishna. So that's you. You are, you're as good as Krishna in quality. And so you just have to sort of leave aside these different conceptions of yourself based on the body and the mind and realize your actual identity is part and parcel of Krishna. And you're perfect. Perfect. You just have to realize it by this process. The process is chanting the holy names of Krishna, hearing the transcendental topics of Krishna. There are many elements to the process, but the main factor is to associate with devotees, associate with pure devotees. If you associate with pure devotees, then everything else will follow. So, if you can do that, everything else will follow. It's just, yeah. Do you think you can do that? Sorry?
I can chant, I can read, I can hear. Association with pure devotees has been good before. It's been hard to get it.
Hard to get it or hard to...
First, you see genuine love of pure devotees.
Are you open to it? All right. Well, don't worry about anything. Just leave it all aside. And chant and hear and pray. Prayer is very important and very powerful. And do service. Do some humble service, menial service. Oh, are you raising your hand? Oh, yes. Ramabhadra. Down.
Some months he came around, made some progress, Then there's another type, sudden.
Yeah.
Sudden death. Sudden death, it happens in sports. Sudden death, what is that? Sudden death. So sudden death, obviously, is expanded to death. That's what we're teaching here in the Vyasa. Chant, be happy. Serve with humility. Associate with superior advanced personality so that energy, that purity goes off on you. Seek that out. Then there's the slow progressive kind, and then for that, we have many great examples over here. Starting with Arithi Maharaj, his divine grace, his Bhagavad Swami Prabhupada. So many great examples that you see over. Dr. Sin, one year, maybe two. So what should I do? You better get very, very serious. And look at these examples. It's not that you have to be a world acharya to start studying and taking great association every day for 18 hours a day. Or for as many day hours a day that you can stay awake for to change the whole day. So there's various forms, and I believe that Krishna will ultimately. I have faith that Krishna or his devotees will leave certain options. Want to think of whoever, whosoever you think of at the time of death, that's the real state of consciousness one is in at the time of death, and that's the one that's paid off. What happens to the great acharyas like Vasudeva, like Pramod Maharaj? Those personalities who want everybody else to go back to that universe, they will stay. They will take on the reaction, but everybody else go home first. So that person may be facing a different circumstance if they're told, if they find out, oh, I only have 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Therefore, I pray to Krishna, please, Krishna, keep me here forever. I am your insignificant part and parcel to engage me in your service. Otherwise, you might be very, very strongly desirous to be in association with your spiritual master when they become. I think there's multiple very positive options, all win-win. And of course, the ultimate is what you're teaching here tonight. Chant the holy names, make the best association you can, and do it with us.
Yeah. Thank you for that beautiful and eloquent explanation, really. But I did think of one principle and one example to illustrate the principle, that it has to go deep. And Srila Prabhupada said this in relation to chanting. You know, that the chanting really has to come from the heart and go into the heart. Otherwise, he said, it's like a parrot chanting. And then when death comes, in the form of, say, in the case of a parrot, I don't know what would be death to a parrot, maybe a cat. If the cat pounces on the parrot, then that imitative chanting of Hare Krishna will stop it. It'll be, caw, caw, caw. So it has to be deep in us. And a story to illustrate it is that a godbrother of ours was driving across some railway tracks, and the car stalled on the tracks. So, naturally he was fiddling with it, trying to get it to start. And in the meantime, he saw that a train was coming. But he still thought, let me see if I can get it going. And then he looked up again and he saw the train was just about to hit the car. And he thought, this is it. This is the end. And he began to chant. And just as the train hit the car, he thought, what will happen to my wife? And then the train hit and he became unconscious. Now, of course, he lived to tell the story. But, you know, we really need to be prepared. You know, and the preparation involves a lot of work. But at the same time, not that it's opposed to what I just said, but it's maybe a different way of implementing what I just said, and that is to just give yourself fully to the mission. And I say it because Tamal Krishna Goswami once asked Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I'm so busy in your service, what if death comes when I'm engaged in your service? I won't be able to, you know, think of Krishna or chant the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, that's all right, because Lord Chaitanya will forcibly enter your mind and make you think of him at the time of death. So if we're really surrendered like that, then we really don't have anything to worry about, you know, if that's our full absorption and we're not holding anything back for ourselves, then, you know, Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya will take care. Are there any other questions or comments? Alright, there's two. Okay, you kept your hand up longer. No, he would, the one who put his hand down was deferring to him.
So, I have a question about what you're thinking about earlier about charity. Now, I personally believe that charity is very necessary. You know, like, we give it for a worldly desire, and it's we give our possessions to someone who actually needs it. Now, my question is that as a person of household or age, I would need to, you know, like, simplify things for my own sake, because my job is to balance the worldly life and the spiritual life. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you spoke that if I were to give charity to a Brahmin, then the reward in the hereafter and the afterlife will be 100,000, correct?
No, if you give to someone without, who's a Brahmin but not really qualified as a Brahmin, you get it in equal proportion. If you give to a half-educated Brahmin, you get it back double. If you give to a fully qualified Brahmin, you get it back hundreds and thousands of times. And if you give it to a Veda Paragon, a pure devotee, you get it back in unlimited multiplications.
So, when you said pure devotee, that means someone who isn't Brahmin per se, but someone who is very emotional and like God worshiper.
Yeah, the person may or may not be born a Brahmin, and in fact, the person may or may not be initiated as a Brahmin. But if they're surrendered to, you know, a pure devotee, then, and so you give charity to them, they engage it in the service of the pure devotee, so you get the benefit. Hare Krishna. We could be a good investment advisor. Sorry? Well, I think we have a minute or two. Do you want to ask your question?
Maybe I can ask after.
After? Yes, I'll stay on. That's a good point. I'll stay on and if you have questions. All right. Thank you very much. Everyone chants. Well, thank you for that gracious invitation. Everyone, please repeat. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare.
Hare
Rama.
Hare
Shri Radha Govinda Dev Ki.